This is Peace Talk, your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace. I'm Larry Wood, your host, and as always, we're glad to have you with us to be a part of the Peace Talk audience today. We're going to talk about something that the ancients struggled over. They really did. They couldn't figure out what to do with the body. And from one extreme, they end up worshiping it. And on the other end, well, they consider it the greatest impediment to having a good life. And it was indeed a throwaway and something to be abused and as much as possible overcome. Well, the ancients had those problems because the ancients didn't have much wisdom on the body, but we don't live in that day anymore. And we do have wisdom because we happen to know the maker of the body, and we happen to know what the world is like that the maker of the body put us in. And so we're going to talk about that today with a lady who's given a lot of thought to it, and she's put her thoughts into a book called The Life of the Body. And that's what we want to talk about today. And we have the author, one of the co-authors of the book, Lane Arnold, as our guest today. So Lane, welcome to Peace Talk. Glad to have you on the program today.
Thanks so much. I'm looking forward to being here with y'all.
Well, as we always do with our guests, tell the audience a little bit about you, because they probably have not heard of you yet. This is a brand new book. Unless they've had some other contact, they won't know about you. So tell them a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a spiritual director and a writer. I'm a Southerner by birth, but I love and live life out here in Colorado these days. I'm a wife. I'm a mother with grown children. I'm a grandmother. Don't get me started on that.
Oh, I won't, because I'll take the mic open. I'll just talk myself.
And I'm a daughter, a sister, an aunt, a cousin, a friend. I'm a prayer intercessor. I love relationships. I love people and beauty. I love quiet. I enjoy being outside, reading a good novel, a good piece of poetry. I enjoy traveling quite a bit as well.
All right, so in many respects, I mean, you have your own desires, your own interests, but you're a lot like the people who are listening to this program.
That's good to hear.
Now, you mentioned all those things, but you went through some troubled waters, and one of the reasons we have you on the program is because, like so many of our authors, you're not an academic from the standpoint that you sit in the classroom or in the library and you've done a lot of research and now you're writing on the body. You've actually lived these things. You have experiences. Tell us a little bit about the troubled waters that you went through and how they have impacted your thoughts on the body.
Well, you know, I think all of us have white waters that we go through at one time or another, and I've certainly had my share. And what I've found during those hard times is that much like a river can carve a canyon, hardships can carve us, and they carve away the false places in us. They can reveal great beauty from the Lord, but it's not easy to go through those times. I went through an unwanted divorce and had the challenge of raising three wonderful teenagers on my own. But three teenagers nonetheless. And it was during that season that my faith, which I had walked with Jesus for a long time at that point, but my faith became critical, really, to my everyday life. And Jesus really romanced me during that time. He came as a lover and as a husband and as a companion to see me through that. In the middle of that, however, you know, I went through a lot of stress with my body, and that sort of got me thinking about some of the things I write about in my book.
And if you would, then quantify that a little bit. Did anybody help you call attention to your body, to maybe how the care and the tending of your body may have something to do with how you navigated the stresses of your divorce?
Well, I would say at that point they did not, and that was probably what set me thinking about it more. But during my divorce, I noticed, you know, the stress and sleeplessness, sickness, dental issues, weight gain were kind of just an ebb and flow of my life. And later when I went, I retired from teaching and went to seminary and started studying about spiritual formation and soul care, I really started connecting some of these pieces together, thinking, some of the things going on with my body then were the direct result of what was going on in my heart. And then as I started noticing this, you know, in my daily life, my quiet time, my conversations with others who followed Christ, I began to notice they were noticing some of these things or not noticing some of these connections. So, you know, doing a lot of reading some of the spiritual classics, getting deeper with Jesus, and then also for the first time I hired a spiritual director. And that person, probably more than anybody, helped me begin to see that what goes on in my body impacts what goes on in my soul and vice versa.
And so you, if I understand, you came to these thoughts when you began to give attention to your spiritual life, then it became clear that was related to your body. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Now, in this day and time, when I talk to people, I don't normally find many counselors, at least they don't talk about this much, that when they counsel people that are in times of distress, they don't, even to this day, don't talk a lot about the body. Do you find that to be true, or is that changing?
You know, I do think that's changing. I think that many years ago, there was a real dichotomy even within the church and within the counseling profession, within spiritual directors, life coaches, mentors, where we really did separate the spirit and the body. You know, if you had your good quiet time, but then you overate or didn't exercise or paid no attention to why you were always getting sick, there wasn't really a connectedness there. But I think in the last 15 or 20 years, there's become more of an awareness that we have to pay attention to the wholeness of who we are, that Christ is calling us to be whole and holy people. And that includes all that we are. So the body that I get up with every morning and go to bed with every night is just as important as my quiet time in a different way, if that makes any sense.
Does your body then become, in a sense, like your first responder to things that might be going on in your soul? The evidence of that might be in your body.
You know, I think that's absolutely a great way to think of it. I mean, I think that we aren't aware of that, so we don't notice it. But if we can become aware, gosh, I have this headache, and I just had an encounter with my boss that I've had about four times in the last, you know, quarter, maybe those two are connected. You know, maybe there's something else brewing deeper than just that conversation with my boss. Maybe it's bringing up something else that God wants to teach me about.
I noticed one of the things in your book, and you mentioned something, of course, to many of our audience would be your greatest credential when you said you grew up in the South. But that's where you learned how to eat, didn't it? And what did you learn growing up in the South about what you eat?
Well, probably like many Southerners who grew up in the 50s and 60s, both of my grandmothers had front porches. And on those front porches, we'd sit and visit. And when you sat and visit in the South in that time, that included food and lots of it, lots of good food. You know, we'd sip sweet tea on a hot summer day. We'd have tomato sandwiches on soft white bread or black-eyed peas and cornbread for dinner, and usually dessert, you know, caramel cake, coconut cake, cookies, homemade peach ice cream, banana pudding.
So you really are a daughter of the South. You got the whole thing, didn't you?
I did. I absolutely did. And I think one part of that great Southern life was that food was just part and parcel of what you did, but at times it became kind of the entertainment piece or the one-upsmanship, like, oh, you know, Miss Lane's caramel cake is the best ever, and so everybody wanted that recipe. But then there are other times that food, of course, is a wonderful hospitality and fellowship situation for us. However, for me growing up, you know, it came to be that sweets were such a part of my life that I really found that those were kind of my comfort foods I would turn to in hard times. And if you do that too often, you have not only a sweet spot, but you have a little bit of extra spot here and there.
When you talk like this, one of the things I noticed about your book is you developed many of the habits of how you were going to treat your body and show concern for your body. You got those habits when you were young. They came out of your home at a time when you weren't obviously being thoughtful about the impact these things might have on you, not only then, but what they would have on your future.
I'd say that's true. And one of the things that happened for me in my conversations with my co-author, Valerie, is we both were really interested in kind of delving into what we each knew about the body and how we had approached food all through our life. But not just food. What did this body mean for exercising, for worship, for caring for the earth, for how to be involved? And so I think we both became thoughtful as to what does this body have to do with our spirit.
Well, I know we have risked losing our audience, and I've almost fear taking a break today that we have to take, because when we started talking about maybe eating and doing away with sweets, and we're starting now talking about exercise and work, they say, you know, I'm out of here. This is not where I want to go. But you would say that's very unwise. Somebody needs to listen to these things, right, and needs to perhaps get a better perspective on their body, realizing that there may be spiritual issues that are very much tied to their concern they show for their body.
I would agree with that statement, that our bodies are really a wonderful gift. And rather than food and exercise being something we should dread, they should be a place of real delight, a way of us really honoring God by the way we honor our bodies.
Well, and you threw the word in there in a list of other words, but you even talked about worship. And we'll come back and we'll talk about that in the second part of the program, because we don't have time right now. But you actually believe there are elements of worship that might be revealed in how we deal with these issues of the body.
That's true. I do. Let's talk more about that after the break.
Okay, well, that's what we've got to do. I'm sorry that the time is the way it is, but we have to be gone. If you have to leave us, I hope you won't. I hope you'll stay. We'll just be gone 2 minutes. If you can run your errands, do whatever you have to do in the break, but be back in 2 minutes. We're going to continue this conversation with Lane Arnold, the author of the book, The Life of the Body, and we'll begin to look into the details of how the health of your body and the health of your soul are tied together. So stay with us. Come back, because this is Peace Talk, your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace.
Would you please welcome the pride of Alexandria, Indiana, your host, Bill Gaither.
Hey, thanks, Phil, and welcome to Homecoming Radio. Do we ever have a great show for you?
You can hear some of the great Christian music you grew up with Bill Gaither's Homecoming Radio, heard every Sunday evening at 5 o'clock on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9 FM.
Don't we all want solid biblical resources we can trust when it comes to faith and family issues? Shepherd Press certainly qualifies. Shepherd Press is committed to providing God's people with solid biblical books and materials. They focus on heart issues rather than performance issues, authentic change that works from the inside out. At Shepherd Press, you'll find books, articles, and a regularly updated blog that will provide a forum for ongoing discussion of issues related to parenting and Christian living. For more information, go to shepherdpress.com.
Before we rejoin today's program, let me say thank you for listening to Peace Talk. Each program comes with the prayer that you will find the peace that Jesus desires for you to enjoy today. But I'd like to take a minute to tell you about the website, peacetalk.com. Go to peacetalk.com and you'll discover that Peace Talk is more than teaching and great stories. We offer opportunities for bringing Peace Talk to you and your church. If you're caught in relationship-destroying conflict, at peacetalk.com you can access relationship-restoring services. You will also find seminar retreat opportunities for your group. And at peacetalk.com you can read the blog and sign up for our free email newsletter, Peace Mail. Follow us on Peace Talk and Twitter. And please, don't overlook the donate button, because Peace Talk needs your help. Peace Talk is all about you finding peace. Let's rejoin our program, and remember, Peace Talk is your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace. This is Peace Talk, your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace. I'm Larry Woods, your host, and glad to have you with us. If you stayed with us through the break, we're glad to have you back. If you're just joining us, well, we want you to know our guest today is Lane Arnold, the author of the book, The Life of the Body. And we're talking today about how our spiritual life and our physical life are tied together, how they interact with each other, that the health of the spirit may have a lot to do with the health of the body, but also the health of the body may have a lot to do with the health of us, our spiritual life, in our souls. So that's what the conversation was all about. We left it with the idea, well, let's talk directly now. How does the life of the body and the life of the spirit, how are those tied together? So, Lane, how does a healthy lifestyle positively affect a healthy spiritual life? Lay it out for us.
Well, I think of that verse, 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, which say, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. There's a lot in that verse that we could unpack for hours and hours, but to kind of bring it down to a few simple things, the first thing is that I really honor God by caring for the gifts he gave me in my body. And then second, this body is the vehicle that I have to travel with while I'm in this life here on earth, and it's my way of serving him. Third, my body really is vital to the corporate body of Christ. We are all called to be image bearers of Christ to the world, as well as to care for one another. So what I do with my body also impacts the bigger corporate body of Christ. In addition, if I'm well integrated of my body, my spirit is more whole and holy, and the same is true in reverse. So what I find is that the spiritual benefits of a healthy lifestyle really do mean that God is restoring and redeeming every facet of my life. There's a holiness that comes about. There's a joyfulness that comes about. There's a thankfulness that comes about. And this isn't really replacing our Bible study or prayer or church attendance. It's not an either-or issue. It's a both-and. It's how do we blend all that we are so that we can come to worship and fully serve our God.
It's interesting when you mentioned your body is the instrument that you have for actually doing the will of God. I remember a quotation that goes back years and years and years ago about a Scottish evangelist. I believe his name was McShane. And at the time of his death, he died at a very young age. He said, God gave me a message and a horse to deliver it on, and lo, I have killed the horse.
That's a great quote.
And he was revealing, and he was talking about his body, that he had driven himself mercilessly to evangelize, and he had ruined his health. And he realized he had just destroyed the very vehicle that God had given him to deliver the message. Well, let's talk about that now then. You've laid out the four or five things that you believe that healthy lifestyle and your spiritual life, how these things are tied together. In your mind, what are the elements of a healthy lifestyle that we need to be concerned about?
I think there are three or four main things that we can ponder as we look at what we do every day with our body. How do we sleep? How do we rest? What do we eat? How are we exercising? Where's the playfulness in our life? Where is the drivenness in our life? Looking at some of these things, we begin to see, I've got a whole lot more drivenness than I do playfulness, but I'm called to be both of those things. And so a well-balanced life is one where all of these things come into play together. Balance is vital to all of us. Just ask anybody who's ever had an inner ear infection. You know, without balance, we're dizzy, we're out of sync, we might stumble, we fall over, a bit like your quote from the Scottish evangelist. So our aim is to really balance our lifestyle so that we have spaciousness and margin to do all that God's called us to do.
It seems like there's actually a very practical sort of value here about how this works. If you only have 24 hours in the day, and you're going to divide up how you use that, well, you know, if I take time to go in the morning or the evening to go down to the gym, I'm not sitting around watching television. I'm not doing the things that might be leading to the stress. I'm staying away from the job for a little while. I'm setting that aside for a few minutes and saying there's something more important. And those elements of setting things aside is what gives us the balance, isn't it? Is making those priority choices.
I think that's exactly right. I think we've taken on this Plato mindset that our body and soul are enemies, and we've compartmentalized one to the other, or we become like our culture and have idealized the body and said that that's what matters the most. And what we need is something in between those two that says, my body's important, but so is my soul. And so I need to do both of these things each day, not as a, oh, I ought to do this and this is a drudgery, but this is a joy because this is part of becoming more of what God wants me to be.
I have a feeling that you have written this book to moms and dads, you know, not just for them themselves, but the life that they're living right now is the life that their children are observing. And they most likely, you mentioned some of your bad, healthy lifestyle came out of your childhood and the things that you experienced growing up. What do you think most Americans are teaching their children right now about care of the body?
I think we have a real mix in our country. I live in a state that's extremely healthy and extremely outdoor-oriented. So a lot of people out here in Colorado, we're out and about, young and old. No matter what shape you're in, you're outside enjoying things. But I think, you know, as we become busy people, we also, and I certainly did this as a single parent with three teenagers, we get fast foods, we, you know, cut corners where we can, and we don't really sit and think of the impact of how taking a walk after dinner together is just as important as getting homework done. It's just as important as going to the Sunday school class on Sunday morning. We want to have all of these elements as part of our life together, and our children are watching what we're doing. I do think that because we're busy, quite often we don't think wisely about what messages we're sharing with our children. And so, you know, as a parent, as a grandparent, I think these things are vital for us to really reconsider. What am I teaching my children today about their body? Am I teaching them how good and holy and wonderful their body is? And am I also feeding them food that is healthy and good for them? Or am I putting down a whole lot of processed food with a whole lot of sugar, a whole lot of additives, a whole lot of things that kind of get us through that busy, got to get out the door to school morning, but later on they plummet during the day. And as a retired school teacher, I certainly saw this. You know, my students would have a breakfast, but, you know, partway through the morning they kind of crash and burn because it's been a sugar high. So we want to begin to think differently. What can we do to help our children and ourselves with this wonderful gift of the body?
Talk for just a minute about sleep. I was reading a while back of a gentleman writing a book, and he's basically saying, you know, God is a great giver, and he's given us many things. And one of the gifts that we often overlook is the gift of the ability to sleep and to refresh ourselves. But that seems to be one of the elements of a healthy lifestyle that most of us really struggle with, is actually just turning off the lights and turning off the television and getting some rest. How important is rest to a healthy spirit and a healthy body?
I think it's vital, and I think that one of the things that happens when we don't rest or when we don't sleep is we are, in some sense, stepping into a kind of role of thinking we have to be in control of everything. We have to figure it out. We have to worry about it, and we're not really living in a spirit of trust. In Psalm 121, one of the things that really did help me a lot in my divorce when there were a lot of sleepless nights was, it says, God watches over you, and he will not slumber. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. So because he doesn't slumber or sleep, I could. I could let him be God, and I could get the rest he wanted me to have.
You just raised an interesting spiritual issue. As one man said, I believe all God wants from us is trust. Do you feel like that many of these issues that you're dealing with actually do reflect a taking of control on ourselves and a statement that we simply cannot trust God, even to the fact that we can't trust God to satisfy us if we skip that donut?
I think that's a great way to look at it. I hadn't really thought of it that way, but I do think it, at the base, you know, what God is asking us over and over again is, do you know that I love you? And if you know that I love you, why don't you trust me? Because I want you to know how much I adore you, and I'm right here for you. So how about if you let me be God, and how about if you be you? And a lot of times I'm saying, but God, could we do it this way, and could we do it that way? And he's saying, how about if you let me be me?
I guess in many respects you have to be kind of countercultural, don't you? Because our culture is selling you on so many of these things today that are really harmful for us if you bought into the culture.
And I think that's why Romans 12, 1 and 2 is a great combination of those two thoughts, that our bodies are living sacrifices and that we're not to conform to the pattern of this world. So the pattern of the world could be your body matters way too much, or your body doesn't matter at all. You can do whatever you want because it's your body. And really neither of those are true statements. Our bodies are God's, and so we are to conform to what he wants. And what he wants is us to steward well what we have. Quite often, you know, when I'm working with my directees in my spiritual direction practice, they'll say to me, you know, I'm kind of lost as to what to do next for my health and my spirit, and I don't know what God is up to in all of this. And one of the verses I'll often point them back to is Jeremiah 6:16, which says, stand at the crossroads and look. And I think that's where we often get too busy. We don't stop and assess where we are. We don't become attentive to what's going on.
Our guest today is Lane Arnold, the author of the book, The Life of the Bible, The Life of the Body. I guess we're having that problem right here now. We just can't seem to keep them apart right, can we? The Life of the Body. Lane Arnold is the author, one of the authors. Lane, if somebody is really picking up on what you're saying and they say, I'd like to know more, they can get the book anywhere. It's now available. It's brand new. Is there ways they can get in touch with you and perhaps get some more information from you?
Yes, there are a couple of different ways. One is I have a personal website that anyone can come to. It's Lane Arnold, L-A-N-E, Arnold, A-R-N-O-L-D, .co, not .com. I also have an email address, which is lanearnold@lanearnold.co. And then my co-author, Valerie Hess, and I have an open group on Facebook, which is called The Body and Spiritual Formation. And that's a great place to just come and join in the discussion, ask questions, talk to other folks who are interested in this topic about how do we really ponder what God is up to for our body and for our soul.
Our guest today has been Lane Arnold. The book is The Life of the Body. It's available at bookstores. And you can go to www.peacetalk.com. Probably about Monday, the program will be up, and the links to Lane will be part of the website. Thank you for being a part of Peace Talk today, because this is your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.